By no means have I the place to tell you everything about how to worship. And I remind you that these things are never with a view to simply educating us. I mean, of course, we need to become aware of things that God has said. There's no question about that. You cannot believe something that you're not even aware of, right? So there is that part of reading the Word. There is that part in hearing teaching where we become aware of things. We're challenged about things. We are given a different way of looking at things that then give us the place to pursue the Lord in. Okay? So by all means, there is an informational aspect of it. But I remind you that the one who is blessed is the one who hears the words of Jesus and then does it. Right? God doesn't instruct us just to make us philosophers. He instructs us so that we practically follow in Jesus' footsteps. We want to be like Jesus. Okay? I'm making some assumptions there, of course. I'm assuming that you are indeed born again. If you're not, okay, please continue to listen. I'm not excluding you, but there are certain assumptions that make what I'm about to say work. Okay? I'm assuming that you have believed the gospel concerning Jesus, that God gave him to pay the price that we owed so that we would not perish but have eternal life. Okay? In a very general way, we can say there are two categories of people on the earth. Okay? Those who are perishing. Instead of having life, instead of being helped by God, finding help in God, they are finding their resources in the world, in themselves, in philosophies, in religions, and their life is falling apart. If not immediately, then bit by bit by bit. Certainly, what they were made for is not occurring. What do I mean? Did you know that every human being was made to know the living God? This is why human beings have been designed. You know, when I get my glasses, you know, they do tests on your eyes and they measure where your lenses, how far they can see and all that kind of stuff. And then they design my lenses to match my eyesight situation, right? There is a design. This is not like I go to the store, I'll just take those, hope they work. Okay, there is a purpose. There is a design in that process. Well, human beings were designed. They're not just a random occurrence that we sort of evolved from something. There's no thought anywhere else that just drives it. We're just randomly here and we have nice thoughts about this mythical God. That is not the case. God designed human beings, but more to the point, he designed you so that you would discover the absolute wonder of who God is and how much he cares for you. That's a roundabout way of me saying what God's purpose for you is to have eternal life. That is not talking about the length of your life. It is talking about the quality of your life. Again, I don't mean that you get to drive a Porsche. You can well drive a Porsche as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not talking about quality in the way that we often use quality of life. I'm talking about you being, let me use a different word, you having peace. Okay? And let me be more specific. You having the Hebrew idea behind peace, shalom, is much more than nobody's bothering you. It's much more than you're not bothered by anything. What shalom means is that there is nothing broken in your life, nothing missing, and you are at peace. God wants that for you. It does not mean that there is not trouble. It does not mean that you don't have situations, circumstances. It does not mean you never get sad. It does not mean you're somehow superior to everybody around you. But what it does mean is that because you have believed into Jesus, that you've taken him for yourself as your Savior, you now have a reservoir, a supply that can meet any need. And that's what God wants you to see. I'm more than enough for you. I am more than enough for you. And we are each called on an adventure to discover that for ourselves. Okay? So, God's will for you is fullness, wholeness, eternal life. That's what I mean by the quality of life. Okay? I am not offering you or promising you that you will always have clothes that fit and look stylish, that you get to wear the latest jewelry or the latest watch. I mean, that's not quality of life. All that stuff ends. All of that stuff. If you had the most money in the world and you could buy whatever you want and you bought whatever you want, when you die, you don't get to take it home. You don't get to take it with you. That is not quality of life. But knowing that God loves you and will back you and support you and make a way for you to do impossible things, discovering just how perfectly He cares for you, and because you are so at peace with Him, you can help somebody else. Now you're onto something. Now you're onto something. This is why I meant, this is what I meant when I said, we want to be like Jesus, because that's what He was. He represented what human beings were to be like perfectly. And then He let Himself be killed so that we could be like Him. Long story short. Okay? Please, chat with me afterwards. Chat with one of the other brothers and sisters about their experience of believing God and what He has done for them. It's very important. Okay? So, He has given Himself that we might have eternal life. Okay? Let me... Oh, wait. Hang on a second. Huh. I was going to deliberately work towards keeping myself short. It only works if I actually turn the timer on. Okay? So, assumptions. There is a God. He loves you perfectly. He has ways, and we, His sons and daughters, i.e. those who have believed in Him, we are called to learn His ways. And one of the ways of God is that we learn deliberately to be people who worship Him. Okay? I haven't spoken about everything, but another way of saying everything that I've just said about being involved with God is to be a worshiper of God. Okay? So how? Practically speaking, how? Why? That's what we're looking for. So, with that as my introduction, Romans chapter 12. I encourage you, if you have not done so, you can by all means catch up on all these things that I've mentioned by listening to the previous recordings online. Romans chapter 12, okay, I will just point out a couple things as we read this. First of all, it starts in this translation, but really in every translation, because going back to the Greek, it has this thought at the beginning, therefore. So what does that mean? In other words, we're being led to a conclusion. Everything that has been said up to this point in time, here's how you should conclude if you're getting what I'm saying, is what Paul is saying. Okay? If you've caught on to what I'm trying to get across to you, here's the conclusion. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Bible you use may have different words, but the idea should still be the same. Psalm 100, again, so many psalms we could go to. But let me use Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Okay? I encourage you to say amen. Amen. It is true. It is true. He is good. These are right words. I've mentioned it to you before. When we finally finish our journey down here, and we stand before the Lord, whether you believed him or not, you will say, you know what? He was right. He was absolutely right, everything that he said. My interpretations, my ideas, what I wish he said, what I say he said, they are not necessarily right. But God is absolutely right. You need to have this thought when you approach the Word of God. God is not putting something before you to harm you, but rather to help you. He wants you to know how he thinks about things. It's not my topic today, and I've already used 4 minutes. But it is worth thinking through. Why does God give us his word? Look, if Titus was God, and he just wanted you to know how to do things, he would have made a bunch of to-do lists. Okay? So, you want to praise the Lord? A, B, C, D, E, done. You want to be filled with the Spirit? F, G, H, I, done. You want to know how to believe? What am I up to? J, K, L, M, N, done. This is not how the Word of God is structured at all. At all. I'm going to get distracted. Forgive me. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Okay, we're wrapping up a series of messages that have to do with how to worship. Let me remind you, the central issue regarding the whole thought about being a worshiper is that you will worship something. And what you worship will either harm you or deliver you. We do not worship. I need you to embrace this if you can. I'm sorry that if I lack the vocabulary to adequately get this idea across. We do not worship to get God to be happy with us. We do not. It is a falsehood to think that we could do anything to get God to do something. Even under the older covenant, okay, which I mean under the law, you know, that time period, particularly for the Jews, where God made an agreement with them. I will do these things if you do these things. If you do these things, then this will be what I do. Okay? And so during that time, there was a performance aspect of it. But I still point out to you, God already told them what he would do. It's not like, well, let me see how you get on with this, and then I'll decide what I want to. I don't like how you're dressed today. This was not the case. He laid out for them blessing. He took them and he made it vivid. Two mountains. This is about blessing. This is about curse. Choose blessing. Choose life. But if you don't, this is what will happen. Okay? But we are not under that time because, believe it or not, we don't perform as well as we think we will. We just don't. At my very best, on my best day, I fall so far short of the standard, the glory of God. We could never do enough to earn what he wants to do. So he solved that problem too. He gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. And this is what I'm saying to you again, an adventure with God about what it means to be saved. About what it means. How did he solve this problem? Well, first of all, there was a price to be paid. Somebody has to pay for all of the injustice that flowed from your life because of your choices. So there's a price to be paid. What's the price? You got to die. The consequence of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You've got to pay. This is what the justice of God requires. What's the problem with that? Well, if you die, then you're gone. That doesn't get God what he wants. So what did he do? He took you who believe and he hid you in Jesus. And Jesus died. So that when he died, you actually also died. But he bore the punishment, not you. But hallelujah, he was raised up into the newness of life. And you who have been hidden in him have also been raised up into the newness of life. And God has granted blessing because of that. If it depended on our performance, it could never be accomplished. This is the lesson, one of the lessons that Abraham learned. If it depends on me, I'm lost. So God says, yes, I know. And that whole period of time where the law was the mechanism by which God would deal with people was to teach people it will never work if God does not save me. So God came to save. Jesus came to save. But hallelujah, now that you believed, you're in Him, things work a little bit differently. What do I mean? It's no longer based on performance. What do you mean? Did you know? I hope this is not a controversial statement. Did you know that before you sin, you are already forgiven? I'm only referring to what the scriptures say. In other words, forgiveness is not the reward of confession. It is not even the reward of repentance. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying that confession and repentance does not matter. It does. You know, your life will be devastated if sin in your life is not destroyed. But one consequence of sin is not, now that you've believed in Jesus, that God will turn His face away from you. You have already been forgiven. You need to access that forgiveness for it to affect you, to deliver you. But He does not forgive based on performance. That's part of the Old Testament. Okay? If you don't know why I'm saying what I'm saying, please come and see me. I'll take you to many different portions of Scripture that say that all our transgressions have been forgiven us. That every decree that was written against us because of our sins was nailed on the cross when Jesus died. He took all our sins upon Him. You recognize that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, roughly. Well, that was before you were on the scene to sin. And He took them all. And it will transform your life if you're willing to believe God, that He has already forgiven you. It will transform your life. Did you know that forgiveness, how shall I put this? God does not want you to continue in sin. There's no question about it, because sin will wreck your life. But God's solution is to forgive you ahead of time. Forgiveness is not the reward for not sinning. It is the solution for sinning. It is something that when you embrace it, the righteousness of God comes to change you, and then you stop doing what you used to do. It really is the case. I'll just refer this. It's taking me off track here. Romans itself says, sin shall not be master over you. True or false? Well, obviously, it's false. God just says stuff like this. I remind you, God is never wrong. He is absolutely right. Sin shall not be master over you. How? Why? Because you are now souped up and ready to go. No. Sin shall not be master over you. Why? For you're no longer under law. You're under grace. It will revolutionize your experience and your life if you're willing to embrace that God has already forgiven you. The idea of redemption means you're not still in the balance. Maybe God will take you, maybe not. Let's see how you perform. It means He has taken you back for Himself, and you are His, and you are now to live depending on Him. Okay? Again, it's as marvelous as a thing to talk about. It's not my point here. I simply want to set the stage. So how did this all work out? I remind you, you're going to worship something. Human beings are designed to bow down. As full of themselves as they can be, they are going to bow down to something. Okay? It's part of God's design. It's part of God's design. And what God says to you, son, I want you to bow down only to me. Now, the interesting thing about this is that God could have snapped His fingers and just made you bow down. Okay? There is coming a day when that is exactly what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come. Okay? And all the people that debating about Him, whether they like Him, whether they don't like Him, it's not going to make any difference. He's coming. He is coming on the clouds. He will come, and His feet will touch the earth, and that is the end of this time of grace. And whether people want to or not, they will bow down to the only one who should ever have been bowed down before. That is coming, but that is not yet. In this time, what God is after is your choice. Remember, you're invited on an adventure with Him where bit by bit, step by step, your heart is won over to Him. What is God really after in your life? Do you really think He's after your performance? Because, you know, he's kind of short-handed. There's only one God, and there's all these people, and if you don't help out, well, what's going to happen? Is that why God wants you to choose him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's not building an army. He's not building an army. Believe me, I know sometimes we have those sort of militaristic pictures about what the body of Christ is, and there's a place for it. But please, he is not building an army. All power and strength belongs to him. What do we add? Not a thing. So why do all this? He wants your heart. The design of God is that you get to control where your heart is. You get to decide. And he wants you to choose him. And it is a step-by-step, episode-by-episode, chapter-by-chapter thing, but bit-by-bit, eternal life works out by your willingness to give him your heart. Okay? So why does he tell us to worship him? Well, and you're going to worship somebody, and all the trouble in your life comes from worshiping the wrong thing. I worship money. I worship my health condition. I worship the politics of my country. I worship people and their opinions. I worship my sickness. I worship circumstance. I worship whatever. Now, I say worship. Maybe I'm being overly dramatic when I say that. You put too much regard and weight on those things. And because it has your heart, God won't force himself in there. And he says, here's where deliverance starts. You choose to give me your heart. Okay, I'm cool with that. Okay, I give you your heart, right? Okay, yeah, but Titus, that's not how it actually works. It works day by day, step by step, episode by episode. Not you just signing a check and saying, okay, I'm done. Okay, you already did that if you believe him. Okay, yeah, you said, yes, I want you. But now the working out happens. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. What are you talking about? I already gave you myself. I already gave you my life. What? Ah. You gave him your life as a beginning. Now it's working out. That's what the episodes of your life are about. Okay? So take courage. Whatever is going on in your life, it's okay. God is with you in it, and he's working with you so that you would give him his heart yet again in this area. Okay? The very next verse says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The fullness of this salvation is a process working out where more and more of your mind comes to agree with him. That cannot be short-circuited. That cannot be shortcut. You can't just say, I'm the best Christian that there has been, so therefore give me everything. No, God sees everything, and it works out step by step by step. And he tells us to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Wish I had more time to think about this. This was the instruction to the Jews. It's referring to instructions that were given about how you worship, but you need to bring an offering. What's the offering you need to bring? Yourself. What will be the outcome of that? You will prove what? How wonderful God's will is. He uses the words good and perfect and excellent to describe the will of God. So what is worship really about? Being in a position to be helped by God so that your life is proving God is good. God is good. It is being proven in how your life is being affected, and it is being proven through you to affect other people. Okay? This is why he says worship. I've taken lots of time in the meetings up to now to say something demands your attention every single day, and your privilege is to choose to give it to God instead. And that is what delights God. Okay? You really think you can sing better than the angels? You really think you've got some shiny thing that's better than what's already present before him? Absolutely not. What do you have that you can give him? Your choice. That matters to God. That matters to God. And we are bit by bit learning to be worshipers, i.e., those who give him our choice, our heart, our heart. So then he gives us more instructions. Okay, so now practically speaking, because I know what life down there is like, here's what I want you to do. Shout! I'm not a shouter. sing.
That's for the worship team. Or the people that I buy the albums from.
Bow down.
My knees are kind of wonky. To wrap up. How am I doing here? Good. I'm still within time. To wrap up.
Very deliberately, God instructs us to use the members of our body. Okay? This instruction from Romans chapter 12, present the members of your body, is multifaceted. It's talking about the body of Christ, of course. We as a church need to present ourselves to God. No question. But it's also talking about the members of your body. Your hands. Your feet. See, when we say, I'm going to present my heart to him, isn't it very easy to say that? I'm presenting my heart to the Lord. And act like it's done. But then in the midst of a circumstance where I am just absolutely depressed, and I choose to raise my hands, well, that's action. That is an activity. That is a deliberate choice to honor him above what I'm going through. And let me, again, gently remind you and encourage you, this is what life down here is like. We face trouble. You don't got to apologize for being a person who gets depressed. You don't got to apologize for being a person who your first thought is not always to be kind. I'm not saying it's right, but please don't misunderstand me. But God wants to take you from that place to being more like Jesus. How? Son, listen to my instructions. Worship me. Okay? How? Okay, so you realize I am depressed. I am so far below the bottom that I have to climb a ladder just to get to the place where I can look up. I am so, so down. And then the Holy Spirit reminds you of Titus saying something about lift your hands. And you recognize I'm not the one who invented this. Right? I did not go back and write into Psalm 100, shout for joy. I'm not a shout. Believe it or not, I'm not a shouter. I need to bow the knees of my heart before my Father who made me and say, actually, maybe you know how I work better than I do. And there are times when the thing you ought to do, close your door and just, hallelujah! The next time you're depressed, try it. The next time you are depressed, that you're so down and overwhelmed by what you're happening, try it. And let me know how that went. I'm not talking about, okay, hallelujah. Didn't do anything. Okay, do you understand that what I'm talking about is your heart being willing to bow down to God's instruction? I feel so down, but I am going to honor you. Hallelujah! Okay, and shout it. You know, I'm not a big sports guy, but have you ever seen what happens in the Saddle Dome when one of the Flames scores a goal? All these people who don't shout normally are shouting and screaming, especially if it's like the Stanley Cup. Because, you know, oh my goodness, there are things that God is good about, but then there's the Stanley Cup. That's worth celebrating. I'm trying to get across to you that God's thought is actually the fact that I saved you is worth celebrating. And it is not at all a problem to shout when your team wins. I think that that's just a normal part of who we are. But I won, says the Lord. And I won you back. That's something you need to be deliberate about celebrating. Can you understand what I'm trying to get across? You have a stark choice before you. I will bow down before my depression. I will bow down before the Lord. You are not criticized or condemned if you choose the wrong thing. I need to emphasize that. You're not trying to impress God. This is God's hand to you. Son, take my hand. I want to lift you out of it. No! Okay, son, I'm still waiting. Not, okay, fine. See how that works out. That is not God. But you need to understand you had a choice. And that's what God wants. Your choice of him. I will dethrone this thing that wants to rule my life and give the one who is worthy of it glory. How? Easy words. I'll clap my hands. I'll do something physical to honor the Lord. I want you to. I challenge you this week, whatever's going on. Because, you know, as crazy as my life might, actually, my life is not that crazy. I am such an extraordinarily blessed man. I should not put it that way. I mean, I personally do stupid things, but my goodness, how blessed I am. Absolutely blessed. It was our wedding anniversary, what, 2 weeks ago? I meant to bring it up then. If you knew what I was like before I got married, the last thing you would have ever thought is that I would have a wife like this. I told her on that day that we actually got married, she is a picture to me of how great God's gifts are and how absolutely undeserving I am of it. I can't, in as much as I'm trying to make these things relatable to you, my life, as nutty as it can be, my goodness, am I blessed. Am I blessed? I really am. You are too. I hope you begin to perceive it more and more. But I certainly am. But I am trying to get across. Okay, look, we get trouble. We have trouble in our lives. I still do stupid things. And I have to face the consequences for them. And so then I have a choice. What am I going to do now? I forgot to pay that bill. Completely forgot about it. And now the interest rate on that has been so high that is now huge. What am I going to do? Well, obviously, I'm going to bow down with worry before this bill. I'm such an idiot. And off we go. Or I can say, I just thank you for the depth of your forgiveness, that even this you've covered. And I raise my hands to you. And I just honor you. Do you know why Abraham raised his hands? That's where we get the beginning notion of raising our hands. You know what he was saying? Everything I need comes from you. Everything I need comes from you. So in the face of a bill that has to be paid, can you see what God is saying? Let me see what you choose, son. What have you seen about me? Everything comes from you. I honor you. So I challenge you, wherever you are, however more blessed than me you may be, you're going to need this, the deliberate choice to use your body to honor him and reset your heart. There is a connection between your body and what's going on in your heart. There really is. Okay, the body does not take the place of the heart, and it doesn't direct the heart, but there is a connection that goes beyond just, it's an extra thing. As long as my insides are, have you ever heard people saying, yeah, I'm smiling on the inside. I'm smiling on this. Do you ever believe them? Isn't that not a ridiculous thing to say? If you're happy, you're going to smile. Out of what fills the heart, the mouth speaks. So my choice to say, I am so depressed. I don't know what to do. I'm so down. And I've been there, okay? I'm not making something up. I've been in places where I just could not see how life can possibly work. And I was reminded by the Holy Spirit, what's your choice? What are you going to choose? What are you going to choose? There are things that are beyond our control that can afflict us. No question. There are consequences of choices that we forget about and then suddenly catch up to us. No question. But not one of those things is a match for God's salvation. All he's looking for is you giving him the place to do it. And so we deliberately choose. How do you worship? Make a deliberate choice. That's what it comes down to. Make a deliberate choice. The thing that is precious to God is your choice of him. And that choice manifests through physical actions. It manifests through the deliberate choice to dethrone my depression, my circumstance. Has anybody ever been in a circumstance that is so messed up that you just cannot see how to get through it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what your life is like, but my suspicion is you're not that different. Like, it's not like I'm a giraffe and you guys are humans. This is common. It is the situation because sin entered the world. It is. I'm hoping you can relate to me and see how this could practically apply to you. Do you have got stuff that is very big and really bad going on in your life? I'm not saying flip a switch, take it care of, no problem. There are all sorts of things that your heart has to be won over. But start here. Praise him. Let me end by taking you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I literally am going to end because the buzzer did go off. I was trying to keep myself to half an hour.
Verse 16. When you feel like it, rejoice. Pray as long as you think it's a good idea. When things are going great, give thanks. Is not what this says. It is not what this instruction is. It says, rejoice always. How is that reasonable? Honestly, I'm depressed and you want me to rejoice always. Do you see a choice? Pray without ceasing. This is not like, you know, you drive up to McDonald's. Hello, can I take your order? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm sorry? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is not what it's talking about. Really, what this is saying is have a relationship with God where you're continually depending on him. And you have the confidence to say, Father, I need help here. Please help me here. Pray without ceasing. At what point in time should you stop depending on God? Never. In all things, give thanks. So remove from your thinking the need to feel thankful. Because it didn't say that. Okay? God, our wise Father, thinks you know some things to give thanks for already. Okay, so maybe the circumstance, you don't see anything to give thanks for. Ah, but you know that his love for you will never end. You know that you've been forgiven and you did not deserve that. You know certain things and God is looking to see, will you be faithful with those little things when he says, in all things, give thanks. Now, just to end, again, to reinforce this, why does God want you to do that? Is it because it makes him feel better when he hears thanksgiving? You know, people are complaining. Look, do you like to hear complaining? Or do you like to hear people saying, oh, that was a great thing you did? What do you like? This is not God. I'm being silly here. This is not God. This is not why he says give thanks in all things. His entire thought behind this is to rescue you from the circumstance. In all things, give thanks. This is what our Father is like. His entire instruction, it was with a view to your welfare and the welfare of those around you. So when he says, give thanks, it's to help you, not him. It is very important you embrace this. And may we each be used by the Spirit of God to build up this notion within each of us. God really likes me. He really does. Okay, yeah, he doesn't like some of the things I do, but me, he loves. So I got reason to give thanks. Okay, I've been overwhelmed by this. I've taken the last month being depressed over this. But now, Father, I just want to acknowledge you saw this before I did it, and you know how to get me out of it. And so I'm just going to start by giving you thanks. Every morning, I'm going to deliberately choose to just give you thanks, even if I don't see a thing changed. The stuff you've already done for me, you are worthy of my thanksgiving. At the end of my days, if this sickness kills me, I come home to you. I have a reason to give thanks. I have a reason to give thanks. I'm going to do it. Okay, we all have a reason to give thanks. Will you do it? Because God wants to take you deeper, build you up, strengthen you, and cause Satan to be crushed under your feet in the circumstance. But there's a way. And it's not got to do with wishing your circumstance was better. It's got to do with honoring the Lord above all things. So, do it. Do it. Remind me to do it. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't mean I don't need the same encouragements in my circumstance. I can get tricked. For sure I can get tricked. Remind one another. Hey, do you got anything to give thanks to the Lord for today? No. What do you mean? You've been forgiven of all your sins. That's a start?
No, it isn't. After, if you only knew what I did.
You know, I don't know, but God does, and he still likes you. He still forgave you. Jesus' blood is still speaking on your behalf. You think he didn't solve the problem of you yet? He sure did. So let's just give thanks. Here, give me your hands. We just lift our hands to you, Lord, and we just want to give thanks to you in the face of this. And off we go. Okay, I'm ending there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, win us over to your thought about this. Make us those who honor you with both our hearts but also our actions. Because you said it is not the person who hears that's blessed, but the one who hears and does. We don't want to be those who have the potential
of salvation working out. We want salvation working out in each of our lives. And we just confess the blood of Jesus is speaking on our behalf, on my behalf, on each of my brothers and sisters' behalf. It is the entire reason why these things can work out for us. It is because of you, Lord Jesus, and we honor you. I just ask you, Holy Spirit, in these days of difficulty, in these days of challenge and trouble and sadness and depression and sickness, in these days of horrible news, work with us that we might take our place as the sons and daughters of God to bring about your will, because it's being done in us, because we are worshipers of the living God. In Jesus' name, Father, win us over. And I thank you for that. Amen. Amen.